Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good afternoon on this Monday afternoon. How are you? 51551 or ray at rte.ie. Does this qualify as an Indian summer? I think it has to be 14 days in a row. I remember researching it a few years ago. Anyway, it's been nice, and I think most of the country got some weather over the weekend, which is brilliant. And today in Dublin, it is glorious. It's very warm. Summer day warm, blue skies, sun shining, glorious. Bonus days. And how many times over the weekend did you hear, it'll make the winter shorter. It'll make the winter shorter. And it will indeed. The more days we have like this to the end of September, maybe into October, we'll have a very short winter. Could you get 6 months in shorts in this country? I remember meeting a man, John Dunsford is his name. He manages Sharon Shannon, and he boasts that he gets into his shorts the first fine day in April, and he doesn't get out of them until October. So he gets 6 months out of his shorts. Yeah, it's difficult now. You feel a bit odd, although I was wearing the shorts over the weekend. Everyone's wearing masks. You have to wear the masks in retail. And we need to remind ourselves of that because people are forgetting and we're hearing stories about that. Hats off and masks on to Chessington World of Adventures. And they're one of those theme parks in the UK, and they've loads of roller coasters. And what they've done now for people who are visiting the park, when you go to book your tickets, they give you the option of uploading a picture of your mouth, right? A picture of your mouth, and you have to pretend that you're on a roller coaster and your mouth is in that position, that sort of position, right? So you upload that, you send it on to them, the people in Chessington World of Adventures. And then when you get there, you can buy the mask that has your mouth on it. You put that on, and then the pictures that they give you at the end look sort of half normal. Very unique to the times we're living in, but that's good thinking there, Chessington World of Adventures. If you're in Tato Park over the weekend and you spotted a lady in her wedding dress, we can fill you in on that. Because we had a little bit, well, a lot to do with that. More about that later on. Liam Neeson has been voted the third sexiest man over 60 in the world. There you go. I wonder, is he even aware that onboy.com have put together a list, and he ties for third place with Harrison Ford. I know what you want to know. Who has been voted the sexiest man over 60 in the world? Jeff Goldblum. You know Jeff Goldblum, he has a brilliant documentary series on Disney at the moment, Disney Plus, well worth a watch. And then Viggo Mortensen from Lord of the Rings, he's in second place, and then Harrison Ford and our own Liam Neeson in third place. And the ladies, Jane Seymour has been voted the sexiest actress over 60. Oscar winners Susan Sarandon and Jane Fonda, who was on The Late Late Show Friday night, ranked second and third respectively on the table of most desirable female stars over 60. Helen Mirren and Sigourney Weaver also made the list. I'm sure you have over 60s, sexy over 60s in your lives as well. 60 is the new 40, is it? But yeah. And where's Felicity Kendall? I wonder, is she on the list? Doesn't appear to be on the list. I see her in the Daily Mail today boasting about using Botox. She says it keeps her looking fresh. Isn't that the word people use? I just want to look more fresh. So I'm going to inject some poison into my forehead. Off with you. That's not the good life. When she was younger, she was growing vegetables and all that sort of thing. She would have turned her nose up at Botox. Of course, I know it was only a character. Speaking of characters, I watched Get On Up over the weekend, and Chadwick Boseman, the Black Panther star who sadly died of cancer recently, he plays the part of James Brown in Get On Up. It's on Netflix. And it is the most amazing movie. And his performance as James Brown is second to none. I don't think I've seen somebody take on a role as believably, as credibly, as Chadwick Boseman takes on the role of James Brown. The dancing, he appears to be singing, although it is James Brown, but it doesn't appear that he's lip syncing. And the way he talks and the way he walks and everything about it, it's a brilliant movie. I didn't know how shit James Brown's life was. Horrible life. His father abused his mother. Then he was raised from the age of 10 by his auntie, who ran a brothel. They used to do this thing for the entertainment of white folk, that they'd blindfold young black boys and they'd put numbers on their chests in white paint, and they'd give them one boxing glove and tie the other hand behind the back, their backs, and then they'd fight each other. And that was for entertainment. And James Brown there, he was in prison when he was 15, 16. Like, he just had a horrible life. And no surprise then, and I'm not making excuses, but he was a flawed individual. You know, there was a lot of domestic abuse. There was accusations of rape and all that sort of thing. And that's hinted at in the movie. But it's a brilliant movie. And his music is so uplifting. Get On Up on Netflix. Well worth a look. Today, a lot going on today. We're launching a new quiz. A new quiz. We better give it a good old introduction here, because we need two people to take part in our new quiz today. Yes, we do. Yeah. We think we're going to call it the Quiz of Today. Yes, it's today's quiz today. We want you to come on and answer questions about what happened on this day over the years. The music, the pop songs, the news stories, the birthdays and the scientific breakthroughs. Indeed, anything that made the pages of newspapers over the years will be included in our Quiz of Today. I think it's going to work. I think it's going to work. It's very focused. Because all the questions will be about this day, the 14th of September, right back through the ages. Which means you could probably go off and swat up on it, but they're not that straightforward. Anyway, if you want to take part in our quiz of today, today's quiz today, you need to answer our qualifying questions. 1850 715 900. Here is the qualifying question. We mentioned Liam Neeson. He's from Ballymena. But what county in Northern Ireland would you find Ballymena? Which county in Northern Ireland would you find Ballymena, the hometown of Liam Neeson? 1850 715 900. And we have some great prizes. Today's prize, and it all fits in. Discover Northern Ireland have given us a hotel break for two nights for two people in the Bullet Hotel in Belfast, with breakfast included each morning and one evening meal for two in their Taylor and Clay restaurant. So that's the prize today. 1850 715 900. And we're looking for two callers, and we'll have them up against each other after 4 o'clock today. Thank you. There you go. I'm looking forward to it, because it's one of those things. It's going to be very informative and entertaining. Let's see what you're saying at 51551. The sun has gone in, Ray. Sorry to inform you, says Ken. I've been working remotely since March. I've been wearing shorts the past 6 months. And hopefully you don't wear the same shorts April through October. No, you don't. And I landed in Dublin from Cambodia on the 12th of March, and I've been in shorts since. 6 months and 2 days today, I believe. No plans to shed the shorts yet, says Eamon. One of the downsides of more dads working from home, I've never seen more pairs of white middle-aged legs on the school run in my life. Not always a good look, says Mary. And can we do an Irish most desirable man over 60? Johnny Logan wins it hands down for me. Well, we'll take your votes now. Most desirable Irish man over 60. And we start the running with Johnny Logan. My hubby Kevin is fierce sexy. Can you ask him if he can bring home chocolate for me? Especially after calling him sexy. That's Catherine. So Kevin, out there, if you're married to a Catherine and she does that sort of thing, as in texting into radio shows, calling you sexy, and she wants chocolate in return, you'll know it's you. So she doesn't specify what sort of chocolate, but I'm sure you know. You spoke too soon about the weather. It's raining in Tip and heading your way, says Pat. Oh, no. Oh, no. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. Good afternoon. The Godfather of Soul. And a complex man. James Brown. I feel good. I got you. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. It's raining in Ennis, says Phil. And raining here in Kilconnell, 4 miles from the Battle of Ockram site, Ballinasloe, County Galway. Rain never misses here. We had a lovely morning here. And the other day you said you cycled to work in short sleeves. At that time it was raining then too. I cycled in short sleeves again today. I was just thinking about shorts. I was in years ago. I was lucky enough to have a holiday in Bermuda. Friends of friends had a house over there and they were going on holidays to Canada. So we went over. Anyway, they wear shorts all the year round. But it's a very odd thing, because they wear shorts formally. So they wear shorts with a sports jacket and a shirt and tie and knee socks. Looks very odd. And they're very aware of their image over there. So, for example, taxi men are allowed to wear shorts, but they have to wear specific types of shorts, and they have to have the socks, and they have to have special shoes. They couldn't wear sandals. And they're actually police checkpoints to check that the taxi driver is wearing the right stuff over in Bermuda. That was the case years ago. Maybe it's changed since then. The other thing I was thinking about there is men and their white legs and what people find sexy. Because I remember I went to college with a girl and her thing was hands. If a man had the right type of hands and she'd look at him driving, and if he had strong hands, then that was a big thing for her. And then another girl I knew, it was feet for her. And a man with tanned feet, that was a big thing. We're very strange, aren't we, human beings, and what attracts us to other human beings. The ultimate most sexy Irish man has to be Pierce Brosnan, says Teresa. It's starting to lash in Tullamore. Thanks. Raining here in South Roscommon. Enjoy the sunshine. I hexed it. I do apologise to anybody in Dublin. I think the rain is getting this way, and it's getting this way very fast. Thanks for all your weather descriptions. They're not weather forecasts because they're actually happening there right now. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie.
Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good news in. It's a lovely day in Knock in County Mayo. And this particular person is having a lovely afternoon baking apple pies with their own apples and listening to Radio 1. Isn't that nice? Now, you might remember back in July, we spoke to sisters Sinead and Fiona Hannerty, and they were on their way to Sinead's wedding that day up in Cavan. They got in touch because due to the COVID restrictions, they were originally supposed to have 200 guests at the wedding, but they could only have 40. So Sinead is a very popular aunt, and there were going to be loads of nieces and nephews at the wedding. And then when they had to cut down the numbers from 200 to 40, they had to say, well, you can't go to the wedding. So they asked all the nieces and nephews, what would you like to do instead of going to the wedding? And they all, in unison, shouted, Dino Park! Dino Park! So Sinead, being the fun aunt that she is, said that someday in the future that she would bring them all to Taylor Park and she would wear her wedding dress by way of a second celebration. Well, that day came and it was yesterday. And Sinead's on the line. How are you doing, Sinead?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Happy second wedding day. Happy roller coaster wedding day. Life is just a roller coaster. Yay!
Yay!
So our good friends at Taylor Park, when we had you on back in July, they offered you 40. Was it 40 tickets, I think?
30 tickets.
So you had all those and yesterday was the day. How did you gather up all the nieces and nephews and everybody to go along?
Oh, God. It was like, at one stage, I was kind of worried that I'd have to start cutting numbers again. So there was 43 of us there yesterday. Or actually, 45 of us there yesterday.
Brilliant. And what a day you got, huh?
Oh, it was just fabulous. The heat was, it was gorgeous.
And you were fully attired in wedding garb, yeah?
Yeah, we had the hairdressers came yesterday morning. Donna and Lisa came yesterday morning at 7:30 to the house. And then up to Grania to get full makeup on again. And we were all in our wedding attire. Sticky goes the whole lot.
Because the nieces and nephews and all, they would have all bought the good clothes, would they, for the wedding?
Yeah, they all had suits. They had dresses, everything bought, because it was only a week before the wedding when we told them they couldn't come.
Yes, yeah. So that was part of the deal for yesterday, that they had to arrive in their wedding outfits.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. So people must have been looking at you going, these people are a little bit crazy.
Yeah, everybody thought I actually got married in Taylor Park. I think they thought, don't tell the bride, was around the corner.
So did you get on the front one? Was that the deal?
Yes. Right. Yeah, me and my James. Very brave husband got on the... We were at the very, very front, the most scariest thing of my whole life. To this day, was that.
You're going to have brilliant photos there. If you send one on to us, we'll put it up on our website. That'd be brilliant.
I will, surely. My sister-in-law, Olive, she took all the photos. She came up and took them. So they literally, they put the whole wedding party. It was all of my wedding guests were on the Cucullin all under one time. There was 24 of us.
Ah, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Yeah. Now, you're not allowed phones on the actual roller coaster, but somebody recorded your reaction.
And yes, the reaction my of the wedding Riley. Party.
Okay. So here it is with a bit of wind as well. Here we go. as you would expect. That sounds like somebody on a roller coaster. Yeah, you don't get the wedding dress vibe off it, but still.
No.
So did you spend the whole day in Tata Park yesterday?
Yeah, we were there around 11:30 and we left at, it was nearly 6 o'clock, I think, when we were leaving. Everything was closed when we were leaving, so and we spent the entire day.
Did you stay in the wedding dress for the whole day?
Well, no, I didn't.
No,
I
right, will admit. Okay.
The heat was unbelievable, that we just couldn't cope with the heat. So we went on like 3 or 4 rides. We'd done kind of every age group, so we'd done the Cucullin first, then we went over to the flight schools for the slightly younger ones, yeah. And then we done some of the smaller ones then with the, you know, the 3-4-year-olds.
Brilliant.
In the wedding dress. So we kind of had every age group covered. Right. And then we went and got changed into more comfortable clothes that we could actually enjoy ourselves then.
And yourself and James got married on the 25th of July after 10 years together and 3 children.
Yes.
Yes, and it was in the Farnham estate in Cavan. So it was 40 guests, I think, because the limit was 50, and then that includes staff, doesn't it, in the hotel?
Yes.
What was the day like?
Oh, it was fabulous. Now, it lashed out of the heavens, and we were actually supposed to get married outside. So we had to go inside then to get married. But, like, COVID or no COVID, we had the best day of our lives.
Brilliant.
It was brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, the band was brilliant. We danced our socks off the whole night. Lucky enough, we didn't have the 11:30 restrictions, so that came out after our wedding. So we were very lucky that way as well.
Mm. Do you feel different now, yourself and James?
We actually do. I didn't think I would. As people say, I do husband the life out of them. It's my husband this and my husband that.
Yeah, because like we got married, Jenny and I, and we'd been together a long time, 2 children, you know, the house, the mortgage, all that sort of thing. And I didn't think I'd feel different, but I did. And in a really positive way.
Like, yeah, that's what we were like as well. You kind of, as James would say, it's the power of the ring.
The power of the ring. There you go. The power
like the
of the ring.
The ring.
Yes. That's great. So you'll send us on a picture of yourself and James
I will, surely.
On the roller coaster there up in Tata Park. And thanks again to everybody up there.
I just wanted to thank Tata Park, because yesterday they were absolutely amazing. And we had, like, they were so accommodating to us. Like, they'd done everything for us that they could possibly do and more. And we had 2 children with us as well who have autism. And they gave us the autism passes for them, which my own nephew, he's only recently diagnosed, and he had the time of his life.
Ah, brilliant.
And he never goes anywhere.
That's
but
not
yesterday
great.
Was the best day, he said, of his whole life. It made, even my sister was saying, it made such a difference to his day to not be queuing. And everybody was so accommodating to him. So, like, we just wanted to thank Tato Park for giving him such a good day as well.
And they arranged the weather as well. Like, genius.
Right.
Sinead Hanrahi, congratulations again. Thanks
for taking
the call.
Ray.
Bye now. Bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Mm-hmm. We've put pictures of Sinead and James up there on our Twitter account at Radio Ray RTE. Now, last November on the TV show, we spoke to Jump the Gun lead singer Roy Taylor. Jump the Gun represented Ireland in the Eurovision Song Contest back in the 1980s. And on the night we spoke to Roy about his diagnosis with motor neuron disease. And on the night I said to Roy that we, you know, keep in touch. And we were meaning to chat to him earlier in the year, but here we are in September. Roy is on the line with his son Terence from their home in Dundalk. How are you doing, Roy?
Very well, thank you, Ray. Great to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
Good greetings
and
from sunny Dundalk.
How are you, Terence?
All good, Ray. Good. Thanks for having us on.
Okay. And now, Roy, we'll talk to you just to remind people about your story. So Jump the Gun, you were the lead singer and the bass player.
That's me, yeah, for sure.
And people all over the country will have danced to Jump the Gun over the years, won't they?
Absolutely, yeah. We are still great buddies, and indeed, up to COVID, we are still doing some gigs.
Yeah.
So, Peter Eads, one of the guys in the band, my great friend, he's recorded and produced the songs we had out over the last few years.
Okay.
So, yeah, all good.
All good. Now, what struck me about you when we spoke to you on the telly was your positivity in the face of motor neuron disease.
Absolutely. Ray, my little prayer I say every morning, can I say it to you?
Yes, go on.
I say, good morning, MND, you FB and C. Now, for those of you listening that don't know what that is, it's not fabulous, beautiful condition. All right? So that's how I start the day.
You curse it.
I do.
Yeah.
It doesn't like it, so that's why I do it.
Yeah. And that's it. You give it a personality so you can fight it, Roy. Is that it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I try to laugh and smile and have fun as much as I can, despite the fact it ain't easy, but you got to do it that way.
Mm. So diagnosis 2 years ago now, is it?
Two and a half, nearly.
Two and a half. Right. Okay. And when you got your diagnosis, what were you told about how it was going to progress?
You see, this is the thing about this disease. Nobody knows. Some people are diagnosed. My brother-in-law was diagnosed 8 years ago. 1 year later, he passed away.
Right.
It's one of those things. It can progress rapidly, slowly. It can plateau for a while. It's just very hard to read. I'm very lucky, Ray. I'm still fighting it. I obviously taken a few digs since I spoke to you last. My legs are weaker, my arms, that kind of thing. But, you know, we're here to talk about the digs we're throwing back.
Yeah. Just, it's very unusual, isn't it? Because it's rare that you and your brother-in-law got it.
Mm. Yes, and the funny thing is, we just did a fundraiser on Thursday and Friday last, a golf classic in Dromoland Castle with the lovely, amazing Pat Fogarty and his family down there. And Pat's wife, Pat himself has MND, and Pat's wife 8 years ago lost her sister to the disease. And my wife lost her brother 8 years ago to the disease. Incredible, yeah.
Because it's only in the hundreds, the number of people who are diagnosed each year.
Yeah, it's approximately, it's approximately about 400 up and down. But unfortunately, what happens is there's two or three people a week diagnosed, but unfortunately, the same number pass away.
Yeah.
You know.
So it's a neurological thing.
It is. And it's basically it attacks your muscles and slowly but surely weakens practically every muscle in your body, bar your eyes, you know, it attacks everywhere. You don't know when or where it's going to do it. And everybody's different. Some people, a lot of people lose their voice, their swallow. Me, it's the legs, the arms, and the breathing can be affected as well, you know.
But you're thinking straight all the time.
And absolutely.
And that's like that brilliant man, Simon Fitzmaurice.
Very important.
He was sort of locked in at the end because he was thinking perfectly well and very bright man. And he could only communicate by moving his eyes. And I'm sure you've read about this now, and I'm sure it's a bit of you wants to know about it, and another part of you doesn't want to read about it.
Well, I kind of know a fair bit about it, and like I mean, from the day I was diagnosed, they start telling you things like, "Would you like to record your voice?"
Yeah.
Because as I say, over 80% of people lose their voice. I'm very fortunate; still have mine.
Yeah,
still there, and they can now imitate your voice, but it's a bit synthetic, and I was absolutely wasn't for me.
Was it not?
I said if it happens to me, I'll use the train station voice or the supermarket voice or a Homer Simpson,
the Stephen Hawking's voice sort of thing.
Yeah, well, that's a bit Darth Vader now.
Yeah, yeah.
He just liked that. That's retro. Because I just like that one.
I watched the documentary on Peter Scott Morgan, the human cyborg, and he's an English scientist who was diagnosed with MND. Mm. And he went after getting, you know, the best technology could offer.
Yes, seen that.
Yeah, and he used his own voice.
He did. Now, the very latest technology, again, is very good. But it doesn't appeal to me.
Okay.
I don't want to turn Roy into a Roy pad.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
yeah.
So,
And the singing, because that's music, Like you must have been singing from an early age. It's part of who you are.
It is. I'm still doing it. I mean, it's a bit difficult, I won't lie to you. My breathing is shorter. I have to be careful with the kind of songs that I attempt to sing.
Yeah,
yeah, it's part of me. It keeps me going.
When you're on the TV show, we played a clip of the song. Was it Give M&D a Kick in the Head?
Watch Your Back, M&D.
Watch Your Back, M&D, yes. Well, same sort of message.
And yeah, that was our opening, our song to launch our own initiative, myself and Terence. Formed an initiative called Watch Your Back, M&D, and we're affiliated to Research Motor Neuron. And basically the idea was take a different approach, the music approach, to enlighten people into the disease, the awareness of it, but at the same time, not car crash. To let them know it is very serious, it's cruel and it's crushing, but we can fight it.
Yeah.
And that was my idea. Now we have a new song out, which is a bit more universal, I would say, that a bit more down to the truth of how this disease really is. But again, it's a song of hope and inspiration.
My New Dreams.
Yes, and the initials of the title.
M-N-D.
M-N-D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terence, I'll bring you in there. You work in medical research, so you're completely on top of your dad's condition.
Yeah.
You went home during lockdown to be with your dad.
That's right, Ray, yeah. So I suppose when COVID wrapped its arms around Ireland, I had to make a bit of a decision on what to do because we, you know, I suppose like everybody, we didn't really know what the restrictions were going to bring us. So I decided to pack a suitcase and I moved up to Dundalk and I stayed there for 4 months. And I know COVID, you know, it brought a lot of negativity to a lot of people and unemployment, but for us, I suppose it gave us a lot of time together, which was great. And we actually enjoyed, you know, just even shooting the breeze. It's amazing, Ray, when you're battling a disease like motor neuron disease every day, you know, just a simple conversation about music or football, it can do so much for both of us, I think. So we got to do a lot of that, but we also got to plan, you know, a lot of new ideas. How can we get our message out? And it's, I suppose, Ray, it's people like you that give us the platform, which we're forever grateful for, to help us get our message out.
Ray, may I say, this is absolutely true. Our new song, My New Dream, that was inspired from being on your TV show.
Oh, that's right. Nice to hear. That's nice to hear. And both you sang together that night, which was very moving. And you both believe that there will be a cure discovered for MND.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ray, up to a year or 2 years ago, it was like one dark tunnel. There's now a spark in that tunnel. And I focus on the spark and not the darkness, because there's a lot of wonderful things. There's words they're using now about MND they never used before. Excitement, hope, and optimism.
Yeah.
They're actually being used now because of the number of different trials and drugs coming on board.
So for you, I suppose, it's a race against time, Roy.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. For me and my fellow warriors out there, and there's lots of them around the country that I keep in touch with, our hope is that some of the drugs will slow this disease down long enough for that big Mexican jumping bean that gets rid of it altogether.
We must play. We didn't get it now. That's an oversight on our part. Anyway, My New Dream, we'll give it a spin later on. When you're talking to people who have it, Roy, it must, as you say, like the progression of it is different in different people, but the way it affects people mentally must be different in different people as well.
Yes, absolutely.
I wouldn't say everyone's as positive as you are.
Everybody has their ups and downs. Yeah. Like even myself, you have your moments where you're positive and you're happy and you're laughing. Of course, you also have your down moments. And there's nothing wrong with tears, by the way, because you have to have them. Because my attitude towards crying is it cleans out the engine and leaves it ready to start again the next day. Now, in saying that, when it comes to TV, I do my best to avoid it. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm a terrible crier. Now, I know there's loads of women around the country saying, what do you mean? All men are terrible criers. What I mean by that is, if I got emotional, I start sounding like, what do you call them off Muppet Show? The squeaky guy. Whereas some guys are brilliant. They can cry and the timbre of their voice doesn't change. They could say to you, Ray, my best friend ran off with my wife and I miss him. And tears flowing on their face, but not a change.
So you go squeaky when you start to cry.
I go like Beaker. And therefore, if I was on your radio show, you have to start running subtitles across the screen. You know. But look.
You haven't lost your sense of humour anyway. Yeah.
All in all, you stay positive.
Yeah, yeah. And Terence, like, you're there, you're looking at your dad. He's changing. For example, he tweeted recently that he can't drive anymore. So,
yeah.
Do you notice the changes because you're with him so much? You know, they're imperceptible over time, but then over 6 months, suddenly there's one thing he can't do or two things he can't do.
This is it, Ray. It's sort of the cruelty of motor neuron disease. You don't kind of wake up one morning and say, I can't seem to walk anymore.
Yeah.
It's very, very subtle. Well, in our case, anyway, I can only speak for our situation. It's so subtle, and we could be sitting having a glass of wine some evening, and my dad would say, could be driving or picking up a glass. That's actually a bit more difficult for me now. And you kind of realise, geez, yeah, it is actually, you know. It just creeps in. Mm. And that's kind of part of the cruelty of it in some ways, you know. As my dad said himself, like, there have been changes since we last were chatting to you, Ray, you know.
Yeah.
Like, he did tweet recently that he had to give up the car, and I know that was a big part of my dad's life, you know, being a traveling musician, driving all the length and breadth of the country. And I think that you actually kind of enjoyed the drive. It was kind of, you know, it was a time for you to relax and kind of plan ahead. But when that's taken away from you by something so cruel, it is frustrating, you know. But as my dad was saying, this is our situation. And I have to say, Ray, like, this is actually the most exciting time for MND research, and that's why we started Watch Your Back MND. Like, in the last year alone, we celebrated our first birthday actually of our campaign the other day, and we were kind of just reminiscing on what we did manage to achieve for such a small kind of campaign. In the last year alone, for MND research, we've been involved in raising nearly 140,000.
Well done.
And that money, it's we couldn't have done it without the support of everybody and people like yourself, Ray, you know, like, because there is very exciting clinical trials coming soon to Ireland, and they're so expensive. Like, it's 18,000 euro per just for one patient.
Yeah.
So the money that we raise will go directly into these trials. The more people we get on these trials, the more hope there is that there will be a cure in the next few years. And I totally believe there will be.
I was listening to you there talking about those lovely chats you're having with your dad and the time you spent together during lockdown. Time, how do you think of time now?
I take it day by day, Ray.
Yeah.
And really don't look at that. Okay, sometimes I kick the can down the road. I think about Christmas. I think about next summer. I think about next April, because I'll be 3 years diagnosed. But I take each day as it comes. When I can wake up and feel that I'm still moving bits and pieces and get on with the day, that's the only way I can face it.
Yeah.
But it's fantastic. The driving force now, our army is building. We've great people on board. As I said, like, we were in Dromoland there the last few days, Pat Fogarty and his gang down there, committee. Imagine we were able to run a golf classic after all the things that have happened.
Yes.
No.
After Clifton.
I even had Stuart's checking the bushes, make sure there's no EU commissioners there. But it was amazing, absolutely amazing.
Go on, sorry.
And it's that kind of thing that drives you.
Yeah.
The people that want us to help, support. And it's like, can I just mention our text number, by the way?
Yes. I'll do it for you if you like. Yeah. So if you want to donate, text Roy, R-O-Y, to 50300. ROY to 50300. And how much will that donate?
Listeners, it's not Ray now.
That will donate
€4, is it?
€4. And the charity will receive 360 of that donation.
Okay.
So every cent that we get will go straight into clinical trials.
Okay, so ROY to 50300. I was just going to read your tweet out to people, and you mentioned that word drive again. So you tweeted there August 26th, a little bit of sadness today as after 43 years of driving, I won't be renewing my car insurance because my arms and legs don't want to drive anymore. But let it be known, this will only make my drive to eliminate MND even stronger. There you go. Will you say hi to Roy? Cormac says hi from all the Meads. He's always a lovely guy. Even when we were kids, we wish him well. That's Jonathan.
All right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What a brilliant voice Roy had and has. Great Eurovision song. Take him home. Please play sometime. Thanks, we will. We were delighted to see Roy Taylor on your show on Saturday night. We were very impressed with his courage and his attitude, but we weren't surprised. He was always such a lovely guy. We were lucky enough to have him do our wedding in September 95. They were fantastic. It was Roy Taylor and the Absolutelys. We used to go to see their gigs on a regular basis around Dublin, Meath, etc. Please pass on our best regards. That's Tom, Mary, Mia and Alana from Swords. The great physicist Stephen Hawking lived into his 70s, Roy. You know that already. And though his body was broken, his mind explored the universe for its secrets, an inspiration for all sufferers of this cruel illness. And can you tell Roy his version of The Prayer is fantastic? I heard it at the Golf Classic on Friday in Limerick. If possible, you should play it. We might get our hands on that. Mm. Roy, keep in touch and anything we can do for you, you know, we're always here. Terence, great to talk to you and you, the two of you.
Thanks,
Ray. Lovely father, son, aunt. Oh, will you stop? Look, go away now.
No,
go
listen.
Away. Don't start.
I can't wait for your book. I told you about that. It's going to come out.
I prefer to read yours. I prefer to read your book. Mm. We do have a book coming out of our listeners, A Day From Your Life, which is great. We'll tell you more about that in the coming months. Roy Taylor, thanks for taking our call today. Mind yourself. And Terence, thank you as well.
Thank you, Ray.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks so much.
Tweet at Radio Ray RTE, The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Connor Pope joins us in studio in shorts.
I am in shorts. It's almost like I knew what you were going to be talking about, Ray, but to be honest, I didn't. It's my one treat to myself over the lockdown. I think I've probably worn long trousers and shoes maybe on 10 separate occasions since March.
And it's brilliant. It's liberating.
It is. Do you know what? It's great. And if I could change anything about, I'd love to live on some kind of tropical island where I would just wear flip-flops and shorts all the time. But like, given that living in Ireland, I can't really do that. I've decided, I'll just go with the shorts anyway.
I only realised this summer, of all summers, how restricting jeans are.
Yeah.
Even like if you're wearing chinos or even trousers or slacks, whatever you'd call them, they're fine. But jeans, the denim, it's actually very restricting.
No, to be honest, I don't mind. I just like wearing the old shorts. And flip-flops. Like, to be honest, if I never see a pair of shoes again, I'll be happy.
You can't cycle a bike with flip-flops.
I've learned.
It's dangerous enough now.
I thought now, because even driving the car, changing gears and stuff can be a bit of a pain with flip-flops. But, you know, the more you do it, the better you get. And now I'm quite skilled.
Right. Pricewatch at RTE.ie if you want Connor's advice on wearing shorts. No, if you want Connor's advice on any consumer issues you might have. So this is right up to date, this one. I wonder if you could help me out with something, Connor. I've only just heard of Avant Money. I'm currently paying a mortgage of over 3% and see that a new company, Avant Money, has come on the market and are offering rates of less than 2%. Should I switch? And if I did so, how much would I save and how much hassle would it be?
Well, there's a whole lot in that and there's a whole lot of stuff going on, and it's actually only started happening this morning, because as of this morning, Avant Money started taking applications from would-be or existing Irish homeowners for mortgages. Now, the first question you'd want to ask there is, who are Avant Money?
Yes.
Now, some of your listeners may have been familiar with an American credit card company called MBNA, and they operated out of, I think, Leitrim, a place in Carrick-on-Shore.
Carrick-on-Shannon.
Yes. And then they closed in 2012 and they were taken over by a company called Avant Card. And then in the earlier this summer, Avant Card rebranded themselves as Avant Money.
Right.
And they've moved into the mortgage space. Now, the good news is they're not charging credit card rates for their mortgages, because that would be ludicrous. But they are charging the lowest rate in the Irish mortgage market. And that rate is 1.95% for a fixed mortgage over 3, 5 and 7 years. Now, there's a catch to it.
Right.
And the catch is you need to have a loan to value of 60%. Now, that means you, if you were buying a house as a first time buyer, you'd need a deposit of 40%.
Yes.
So if the house was costing 300 grand, you'd need a deposit of 120,000 euros, which not many first time buyers could even possibly dream of.
But if you
were an existing homeowner and you had equity in your home and you wanted a switch, you could switch to this lower rate. And it is the only rate in the market in Ireland that's under 2%. And it's the first time in Ireland since 2008 that an interest rate has fallen below 2%. Now, 2008 should cause the alarm bells to start ringing.
Yes.
Because it was the low interest rates in 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007 that kind of caused the
property
crash.
Bubble. Yeah.
Now, it's a different story now because there's no credit bubble. There isn't any access to easy money and the banks are still making it difficult for people to access finance.
But already some Irish banks are following suit.
AIB announced this morning that they were dropping their interest rates for some of their fixed rate products as well. And the inevitability is that all companies will follow suit because you don't want to lose market share.
Because Bank of Scotland came in the early noughties.
Well, that was what happened. Bank of Scotland came in and started issuing tracker mortgages. Now, tracker mortgages were effectively mortgages which were tied to the European Central Bank rate. So whatever the rate was in the European Central Bank, they would only add on an extra half a point or whatever it might be. And tracker mortgages, of course, were brilliant, and they were brilliant for, and they're still brilliant for all of the people who have them. But there's a whole chunk of people who don't have them, and they're the ones who are paying through the nose for their mortgages. And in fact, Ireland has one of the highest rates of highest mortgage rates in the European Union.
Yes.
Now, there's a couple of reasons for that. For a start, the rules that were put in place for Irish banks in terms of liquidity and credit supply and all the rest after the crash mean that the banks were, you know, they have to have a much stronger balance book than perhaps maybe a bank in.
But they're still making a huge amount of profit.
They are. But the other reason, of course, is that it's very difficult for a home to be repossessed in Ireland. If it's your primary domestic residence, it's very difficult for a bank to repossess that. So, of course, that means that banks from overseas are looking at the Irish market going, nah, don't fancy that. So there's no competition, which allows all of the banks in Ireland to kind of, you know, keep their rates
so
higher.
So back to FM Money and the question from our listener.
Would you save money and how difficult is it, basically? So let's say you have a mortgage of €300,000 and you've around 30 years left on it and you're currently paying 2.95%. If you were to switch to the lowest rate, the one that Avant Money are offering, then you'd save €158 a month, which spread out over the life of the mortgage is €60,000. So in terms of savings, it's a staggering amount of money. Now,
it's an extension.
It's a small extension, in the current climate. Like, I'd like to think it was a palatial extension, but that's not the reality. Now, the thing is, you do need to have at least 60% or the loan to value at 60% or less. Now, the question then is, how difficult is it? And you know what? It's not the hardest thing in the world if you have those criteria. What you'd need you'd need your bank statements covering at least 6 months, a year in some cases. You'd need your ID, you'd need proof of residence, all that stuff. You'd need wage slips, and you'd need information on all the loans and money you have on deposit or the credit card debt you have or all of that stuff. And you'd need to tick all the boxes. And how long would it take? It would take around, it depends, but it would probably take around 6 or 8 weeks. So the really difficult task is to collect all the paperwork if you don't have it. And a lot of the time nowadays, that's not so difficult because, you know, a lot of your bank statements and your wage slips might be online, so you can print them out and send them off. But the big thing is that you'd save the money.
Would Avant Money be enthusiastic about getting people from other banks?
Well, absolutely. Yes. Avant Money wants to grow its market share.
Okay.
And that's why it's entered this space.
And what about at the end of 3, 5 or 7 years when that fixed rate?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, like, I remember writing a piece in the Irish Times in 2010, 2011 about what's going to happen when mortgage rates hit 5% and what impact that's going to have on people. And this would have been because it looked like mortgage rates were going up and up and up and up and up. And it was terrifying, the impact that mortgage rates hitting 5% or ECB rates hitting 5% would have. But then economies across Europe started to go into decline. The growth was sluggish. The European Central Bank hasn't increased their interest rates since 2011.
But the only way is up.
Well, that's what I would have said 2 years ago. But the thing is, the COVID-19 recession means that we're a long way away from the European Central Bank hiking its rates.
Okay.
And you must remember, if you were to lock in your, and I'm not an advocate for this bank at all by any means, but if you were to lock in the rate for 7 years at 1.95%, like, Lord knows what's going to happen after 7 years. But whatever happens, you'd have still made the savings for the first 7 years of the mortgage. And, you know, you would then,
which is quite sizable,
rejoin the
market
at whatever
rate. It's a good fraction of 60,000.
It's a percentage of it. Yeah. So, you know, there would be savings that could be made for people who were to do with this bank or indeed any other bank that's offering a lower rate. And the interesting thing is, according to the Irish Mortgage Brokers Association, I think is what they're called, like, less than 20% of people ever switch mortgages. So it's we've talked about switching in the past, Ray. Less than 30% of people change their electricity provider, it takes 20 minutes.
Should people be annoyed, though, if this Avantmoney can rock up and offer this rate and they're looking at their own bank offering a way higher rate?
Absolutely.
We been duped? Are people been duped?
Well, I don't know if they're being duped, but I certainly think that the banks in Ireland have been making a lot of money on the backs of poor unfortunate Irish people for a long time, and they were doing that to try and get themselves out of the crisis that was effectively of their own making. You know, we didn't ask them to give out tracker mortgages, we didn't ask them to lend money hand over fist, you know, so it was their own fault. They got into difficulty, and then we as the consumers ended up paying the price. Mm-hmm. And that's why people are paying a higher rate for mortgages in this country,
and not only in high mortgage rates but also through tax, because the government bailed them out.
Listen, so to
everything.
The double,
on the double.
And that's why it's. I think at least one of the positives about the current crisis that we're all in is it doesn't seem to be that the government either in this country or in countries across the European Union are trying to pursue that whole austerity approach that was taken during the crash.
It'll be
really
stimulus packages.
It's throwing money at the problem now, which I think is probably the best.
Okay. Thanks for that, Conor.
No problem.
Thank you. And we'll talk to Conor next Monday. Pricewatch@rte.ie if you have any questions for him in the intervening 6 or 7 days. Anish Tosh now in the Free Skeleton and Oak to the Marian Nihulawan. Good Marian. Thank you very much. Now, this is the first day, so bear with us. We fingers crossed. Hope it goes well. It's a new quiz. Cue the music. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's today's quiz today. We have two contestants lined up to answer questions about what happened on this day, September 14th, over the years. The songs, the news stories, the birthdays and the scientific breakthroughs, anything that made the pages of the newspapers over the years will be included in our quiz of today. And taking part today, we've Martin Tully from Arklow. How are you doing, Martin?
Hello, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. How are things in Arklow? What's the weather like?
Weather's lovely. Weather's fine. There's no problem at all. About time you see a bit of sunshine, isn't it?
I think you're not originally from Arklow.
No, I'm from England. I moved over about 21 years ago.
Right. Just get the qualifying question out of the way. Ballymena is in which county?
Antrim.
Antrim is the correct answer. So how many, 20 what years ago?
21 years ago I've been here.
Right. Why did you move over?
I just couldn't drink the Guinness in England anymore. It was horrible.
Right. So come over to its home place. You're a driving instructor. How is that working out now with the pandemic?
We got back since, I think I went back on the 21st of June. It's just face masks and, keeping all the surfaces nice and clean and everything else. But no, it's working out all right.
Yeah.
And regular breaks and stuff like that. But it's working.
Great. And what's your family situation? Married, children, grandchildren?
I'm married. I come over here 21 years ago with two daughters. One went back to England. One's training to be an accountant over here. But no, there's me and the wife and, just one daughter left here, and she's got a son and a partner. So most of them are still in England. They stayed there, you know.
Okay. So that's Martin Tully in Arklow. He's up against Catherine Gallagher in Waterford. How are you doing, Catherine?
Hi, good, thanks, Ray. How are you?
Good. Whereabouts in Waterford are you?
Just outside the city, quite close to Grow, the restaurant.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yes, Grow. That's lovely in there, isn't it?
It is lovely. It's beautiful there.
Yeah, because I'd say this time of year now, they've probably beetroot, or maybe beetroot's gone out of season, but they grow all their own stuff and then they serve it up to you. Delicious.
They do, yeah. It's very nice. Very good.
So I believe you're retired and you're pottering around as opposed to potting around.
pottering around this afternoon and enjoying the good weather.
Yeah. It's nice down there, is it?
It's beautiful, beautiful today, right?
Yeah, the sunny southeast. You're doing a bit of dog sitting.
That's right, my daughter's two little dogs here, so I gave them all a chew in the hope they'd stay quiet.
Right, okay. They might be helping you out, you should listen to them. Okay, it's the first day of this, so today is September the 14th, so all the questions pertain to today, Martin and Catherine.
Right.
And we have 5 questions each. Whoever answers most correctly gets the prize. And the prize today is thanks to Discover Northern Ireland. We have a hotel break of 2 nights for 2 people in the Bullet Hotel in Belfast, with breakfast included each morning and 1 evening meal for 2 in the Taylor and Clay restaurant. Nice prize. Nice prize. Yeah, nice prize. It's a lovely city, Belfast. Sort of underrated, I think. Okay, good luck to you both. Let's get a bit of tension going. And Martin, your question is this. On this day in 1947, actor Sam Neill was born in Omagh. In what franchise of movies did he play the part of scientist Dr. Alan Grant? Sam Neill.
Was it...
Need an answer?
No, I don't know.
No. Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park was the answer I was looking for. Wow. And for you, Catherine, the late Amy Winehouse was born on this day in 1983. She would have been 37 if she was still alive. Terrible waste of talent. What was her biggest selling album called? Was it...
Black.
Hold
Back
on now.
To Black.
Yeah, well, I was going to give you a choice, but that's it. Yeah, I was going to say Back to Black, Black in Black, or Back to Back, but Back to Black is the right answer. You gave it to me. Okay, good start for you. Back to you, Martin.
Yep.
In 1752, September the 3rd, I should say, became September the 14th in Ireland and Great Britain because which calendar was adopted?
Gregorian.
Is the right answer. Yes, they replaced the Julian calendar and they lost 11 days. That's a good answer. Catherine, Handel.
Yes.
Handel completed his Messiah on this day in 1741. On which Dublin street was it first performed?
Handel's Messiah.
Yeah.
Could it be O'Connell Street?
No, it was Fishamble Street.
Hallelujah. Yeah,
okay, right, one all as we go to question three. And Martin, can you name this sitcom, please?
Are you still working?
No.
Oh, what happened there then? That was a good job in that warehouse.
They fired me off.
Right.
They caught me nicking.
Oh, you daft sod, what were you nicking?
A fridge freezer.
Well, they're not easy to put up your bloody jumper, are they?
BBC 1988 was first broadcast. What's the name of the programme?
Not Open All Hours, is it?
No, The Royal Family. The Royal Family.
No.
Okay, Catherine, for you, we're going to play a theme tune from this programme. It first aired in America in 1985. Name the programme. Can you name the programme?
Is it Friends?
No.
No, I didn't know.
It's the Golden Girls. Remember, four retired women living in Miami.
Yeah.
Very funny. Yeah. It ran till 1992 from 1985, 180 episodes. Okay. So, Martin, you're on one after three questions. Your fourth question is this. The first man-made object landed on the moon on September 14th, 1959. Which country mounted that successful mission? Was it America, Russia or China?
America.
It was Russia. The Luna 2. They're not suiting you today. Now, Catherine, this day last year, Dublin beat Kerry in the All-Ireland football final to make it 5 in a row. Can you name one other team they beat to achieve this historic feat?
Sorry, can you say that question again? Sorry,
I will. Okay. The dogs are barking. This day last year, Dublin beat Kerry in the All-Ireland football final to make it 5 in a row. Can you name one other team they beat to achieve this historic feat over the 5 years?
Kilkenny?
No.
Oh.
I was looking for Mayo or Tyrone.
Okay.
Radio, maybe we'll have to make the questions easier. Right. So, Marty, you're on one out of four. Let's see if you can make it two out of four. Can you name this U2 song that was number one in 1987? Any idea?
U2
song.
To be with you?
Say again?
To be with you.
No, Where the Streets Have No Name. Sorry about that. And Catherine, can you name this Irish band who had this number one on this day in 2010?
We're smiling, but we're close to tears. Even after all these years, we just now got the feeling that we're needing.
for the first time.
Irish band. Any idea? No. It's the script for the first time. Okay. So it's 1-1. We go to a tiebreaker situation.
Oh, God.
You see, I did say it was the first day, so bear with us. Okay. I'm looking for the nearest to the correct answer, because neither of you could possibly know the correct answer, so I'm looking for the nearest guess. So, Marty, I'll ask you the question. I need your answer as quickly as possible, and Catherine, yours as quickly after that as you can. Thank you. On this day, in 1994, at a London auction, Bono, lead singer of U2, bought Charlie Chaplin's costume from The Great Dictator. At the time, Bono told Sotheby's that his intention was to display it at his cafe in Dublin. Mr. Pussy's was the name of the cafe. To the nearest English pound, how much did Bono pay for the Charlie Chaplin costume?
So the 20,000.
20,000, you say? And what's your guess, Catherine?
25,000.
The answer, correct answer, is £35,600, which means, Catherine, you're the closest. You get the prize. You're off up to the Bullet Hotel in Belfast. You'll be there for two nights with a person of your choice, and you get to have a meal as well in the Taylor and Clay restaurant. Martin, we're going to send you down a mug. Thanks for coming on. Okay. Good luck. See you. Bye. Bye. Well done, Catherine. Well done.
Thanks very much.
Yeah. Enjoy that weekend, and send us a postcard.
I will indeed. Thanks
okay.
very much.
See you now.
Coming.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Now, were the questions too hard? Were the questions too hard? We'll have to look at that. It's the first day. Gar is on sound. He's nodding there. Slightly too hard, Ray. Slightly too hard. We'll have to look at that. Maybe a multiple choice for all the questions. Anyway, we'll do it again tomorrow. And we'll have another prize from Discover Northern Ireland. We'll give you the qualifying question just after 3 o'clock. Right now, quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Lovely emails and texts coming in about Roy Taylor, and we might get some of them tomorrow. Great programme on Virgin Media 1 last night. Big year and big school, and we're talking to the teacher from the programme after this. Oh, there, it's finished, yeah. It's half finished and then a finish. 5 on 5 5 on Ray at RTE.ie. Now, Big Year and Big School started on Virgin Media 1 last night. A brilliant show. If you didn't see it, go back and watch it on the player. They put cameras into a junior infant's classroom and followed the children and teachers for a year. It was adorable. It's set in the Aston Village Educate Together in Drogheda. And the teacher is Maria Harmon, and she's come down from Drogheda to be with us. What time did you finish that today?
The kids went home at 1:30 today. So this was their first long day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for coming in. Now, would most teachers say no to allowing cameras into their classrooms?
I pretty much think, yes, they would. Definitely.
So how did that chat go then when somebody approached you and asked, could they put the cameras in?
Well, I think it was, I wasn't told too much. Right. I was drip fed a little bit of information. I was told that we might have cameras coming into the school. I wasn't so much told that it would be my classroom. We just, we had a little chat about it, and all of a sudden I had a producer and director arriving up to have a look around, and I was showing them around, and still wasn't really thinking, okay, this is going to be in my room, And then sure, Principal Dermot knew that I'd be up for the challenge. So okay. It went from there.
How many cameras are in the classroom?
Oh, I'm not sure actually, Ray. I'm going to say about 6 or 7.
And they're the ones they use on Big Brother and that.
Yeah. It's like the ones you see on First Dates Ireland and things like that.
Yeah, so they're remotely operated, camera people in the room, just you and your students.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you forget they're there, I'd imagine, do you?
Definitely, especially in a junior infant classroom. Anyone that is a teacher will know that you don't have time to think about cameras. So even though they're there and you might see them move in the odd time, I didn't have time to think about them because it's such a busy day.
Yeah. And junior infants, average age 6, is it? Or
4 or 5.
4 or 5. All right. So it's the first class.
Yeah. Yeah.
What happened to babies?
Babies is junior infants.
All right. There you go. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So baby infants is junior infants.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And then, of course, the logistics of clearing it with all the parents.
Yeah. So a lot of the parents, well, all of the parents were on board. Eventually, some needed a little chat and needed to just be, put their mind at ease that it was all going to be very positive.
Yes.
And there was nothing to worry about in that case.
Mm,
so, yeah, they were all on board, and I'm sure they're all delighted now.
Well, it was just such a positive, uplifting programme last night.
It was such a, you know, like a, just so easygoing and, you know, really put a smile on your face and might bring a little tear to your eye as well, some of it. But
where
it was
did
nice.
You watch it? Had you seen it before last night? Or
I did get to have a sneak preview last week because I think the guys in Kite Productions knew I was a little bit anxious, a bit nervous about what was going to go out and wanted to get an idea. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have slept for the last few nights. So I watched it at home last night with my family and it was lovely, lovely Sunday
and
night.
And what was
watching.
The reaction?
Oh, they were delighted, delighted. Yeah, they're very proud. Yeah. My phone was hopping.
Yeah.
Hopping nonstop. Yeah.
Is this your first time you've taught junior infants? Or,
no, this is actually my fourth year.
Fourth year
in junior infants, yes. Yeah. So I'm getting the hang of it now.
So give us an idea then. How do you approach a group of 4 and 5 year olds?
Well, there's a lot of rules. Rules work for kids of that age.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. They want to please you, which is great. They're a great age for looking up to their teacher and doing what teacher tells you to do. That can change as you go up to school, as kids get a bit older.
So they're still completely compliant.
Compliant and idolise you. They really do.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah. A lot of parents will say that, you know, can you tell him to, you know, eat his dinner when he goes home? Because he'll do what you tell him, but he won't do what I tell him, you know. So they really do. They look up to their teacher.
Yeah. And they're still malleable. You can tell them what. And the rules, and you say they want to be liked, and you introduce this rainbow thing.
Yeah.
What's the rainbow? Explain
so
it.
The rainbow seems to have gone down a treat now. I came up with the rainbow with my class last year, the year before last, actually. Who'd be in first class now. The traffic light system would be well known by teachers. You have your green, orange and red. So green means everything's good. You might get a warning if you do something, you misbehave or you're not paying attention. You might go to orange. And if something's really bad, you go to red.
Right.
So we had that system in the classroom and it was working really well. But I felt that there were so many good children that were on green all the time that they weren't really getting
to
go.
They'd nowhere to go.
No.
They'd nowhere to go.
Yeah, they were so good that they were so well behaved that they had nowhere to go. And we came up with an idea and I said, so I have the clouds and I said to the children, well, what do? We have the green cloud, the orange cloud, the red cloud. And they were like, what about a rainbow? I said, that's brilliant. Let's work towards the rainbow.
Right. So if you're particularly good, you get on the rainbow.
Oh, you have to have exceptional behaviour, right?
And it changes every week, does it? Is that it?
Oh, no, you'd have 2 children would get to the rainbow every day.
Oh, every day?
Every day.
Oh, right. And then
so
it starts afresh the next day.
Every day, yeah. So even if something really bad happens when you're in the red cloud today, you go back to green tomorrow.
Right.
Everyone gets a new start the next day.
Do you know, I'm always interested by teachers, particularly when you teach very young children, as you do. How do you then adapt when you're out in the real world talking to adults? Do you find yourself sometimes talking
absolutely,
to adults?
Absolutely, yeah.
Like
my
children?
Husband will say to me, Maria, you know, you're not at school now. Yeah, okay, you're at home. Don't talk to me like a five-year-old. Yeah,
yeah. And what a year for the cameras to be in.
Oh, my goodness, what a year.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. In good ways and bad ways, you know, like for the production team, I'm sure they thought on the 12th of March, oh, my goodness, what is happening here. But at the same time, what a year to capture.
Yes.
You know, the team were in on the 12th of March when the schools closed because it was Seacht na Gaeilge. So they were in to get an idea of what Seacht na Gaeilge was like in schools. Yeah. And all of a sudden they were capturing the children being told that we were off school for 2 weeks. And, you know, all about this virus and we were going to have to, you know, try and get rid of the virus so they could come back to school. So it was a big moment to capture.
And we haven't seen it yet, but do they cover you then doing...
Yeah, we covered homeschool
and using the
online forums and things like that.
And which is brilliant, there are interviews with the parents.
Yeah.
And there's such a variety of stories, isn't there?
Yeah. Like it's in an Educate Together school, we do get a lot of different backgrounds and a lot of different nationalities and cultural backgrounds. So it really, it's very diverse.
Yeah. Avob is Indian.
Yeah.
Both his parents are doctors.
Yes.
And he's a people pleaser.
Oh, he is.
He's
if
a lovely
I had
guy.
A class full of Avobs, I'd be delighted. Every day would be easy.
Is he a bit of a maths prodigy?
Oh, yes. Yeah. He's big into the maths.
Yeah.
He loves, you know, you'd find him writing little things on his whiteboard and doing his maths puzzles. And
Callum is a dote as well.
And
Pablo, his family just arrived over from Spain the week before he started school.
Yes, no English. No English at all.
Big challenge for him.
Big challenge, yeah. But what a gift to give your child, you know, to the whole family. They're an amazing family. They brought their 4 children over and their gift was for them to learn English.
Right.
And they're just fabulous.
There's a lovely moment where, you know, and you see, as parents, we're never privy to this.
Yeah.
These little magical moments that happen inside a classroom. And you're, they probably happen every day. And yeah. You miss a lot of them.
Yes. As a teacher, you do miss all those little things that happen. Right, yeah. And it's lovely to look back and see the conversations.
Have them captured by cameras. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a conversation about moving something and it develops into a sing song.
Clouds are moving. Say moving.
Moving.
Good boy, Callum.
You want moving.
I like to move it, move it.
I like to move it. Which is from Madagascar, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they all knew that and they all joined in.
And everyone got to sing along. Yeah. They were dancing as well.
Yeah,
it was such a fun moment, sorry. Yeah. But yeah, Callum has quite a strong speech impediment. And, you know, for him to, he was trying to explain to me, he was like, teacher, look behind you, the clouds are moving. And I thought he was saying something about music, and that there was that moment where we couldn't figure out what he was trying to say to me. And then it clicked that he was saying the clouds are moving. And he was so excited that I understood what he was trying to say.
Do you think people will be not shocked, but surprised at the words you use around sex education? You're bathing a little baby. And one of the kids says that the doll has a willy.
Mm.
And you say no penis.
Yeah.
And then you say vulva for the female doll.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's done, is it, in every class?
Well, that's the word for it, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, I know it is. Yeah.
It's just a word. Yeah, people are quite shocked. And even some teachers would say, oh my goodness, I'm not standing up in front of kids and saying, you know, penis and vulva.
Yeah.
But sure, that's just the words. And I think it's, we put it on the children, you know, we make it a big deal.
We pass on our sort of neurosis. Yeah.
Yeah, we do. Like everyone has their pet names for these things that they say at home, but we just try and correct it and we use those terms at school. So I don't
think so. You standardise it.
Yeah. So everyone, and
there's no big hoo-ha about it.
Yeah, because you hear a lot of strange words, right? Yeah. There's a lot.
I take your word for it.
We won't go into them.
That'll be in the book. Yeah. Big Year and Big School is on Virgin Media One on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock. You can watch it back on the player. It's well worth a watch. It'll brighten up your day. And Maria Harmon is the woman at the helm, the teacher.
And can I give a shout out to Niamh Eustace, my SNA,
as well. Yes, she's great in it as well.
Yeah, only four.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks so much for making the trip down, Maria. And mind yourself, looking forward to seeing episode number 2. That's it from us. Philip Boucher Hayes is on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.